Well, today we're going to be looking at a passage from Isaiah. Isaiah, the 56th chapter. It's about outsiders' welcome. It's about outsiders' welcome. And it might be a tough passage in some way, because part of this passage speaks against some of the things that are wrote in the book of Deuteronomy that says these people will never be a part of God's kingdom. And this passage says, oh yes, they will. And that can be something that's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's happening when part of God's word says that foreigners can't be part, and then this part says, oh yes, they can? And I want us to open up our thinking and think about, what does it mean for outsiders? What does it mean for outsiders? And you know what outsiders are, don't you? Outsiders are the ones that ain't like us. Okay? They ain't like us, and they probably don't know how to say y'all. Okay? That's an outsider. They know how to say you all. They don't know how to say y'all. And let alone they don't know how to spell it. I have seen incredible number of ways to spell y'all. And I oftentimes look at it and go, how did you get that spelling? So I want you to think about outsiders. So let's look at this passage and let's see what's here. Back in verse 1, it says, this is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. And then skipping down to verse 6. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel will gather still others to them, besides those already gathered. You see, the kingdom of heaven, the doors for the kingdom of heaven, the doors have been open wide. The door for membership into the kingdom of heaven is open wide in this passage. God says the temple will become a house of prayer for all peoples. Those who seek to follow the Lord and know the Lord will be part of the kingdom. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what station of life they're in. It doesn't matter how much money they have or they don't have. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about a passage where God says, come and buy food and drink with no money. Come and be part of this kingdom that God is going to have, this powerful and wonderful kingdom that God wants. And now God says it is open to all people, no matter who they are. I have a firm belief that every person has been created by God. And God's desire is that every person become part of the kingdom of God. Every person. It doesn't matter if I like them or not. It doesn't matter if they like me or not. God wants them to be part of the kingdom of God. That's what matters. And I still remember a story. It's a made-up story that I heard. But I think it's very possible that Jesus Christ goes back to heaven. And as he goes back to heaven, one of the angels says, is everything done? And Jesus says, well, no, it's not. And they said, well, do you have a plan for getting everything done? And he says, yes, I have a plan for getting everything done for these certain group of men, these 11 men that were left at that time. I entrusted a great deal to that they would bring the word of God to the whole world. And as we might say, the angel said, well, what's plan B? And Jesus says, I don't have a plan B. Well, what if they fail? They're not going to. You see, the doors to the kingdom of heaven are open wide. And God is inviting each and every person inside, no matter which country they were born in, where they come from, how they grew up. It doesn't matter what has happened to them, what has gone on. It doesn't matter the path that they've walked. God in this passage says it is open. What do we think about when we think of the word foreigners? They're people that are not like us, right? They're outsiders. And God says the kingdom of heaven is open to them. Even if they speak a different language than you, the kingdom of heaven is open to them. You see, what God is allowing to happen when you look at just this simple passage, it says God is allowing anyone to come in who is willing to make God the center of their lives. God is allowing anyone to come in who is willing to make God the center of their lives. That's what's important. Many, many years ago, in the 1980s, I made Jesus Christ my Savior. And I came to Him and I bowed down and I said, I cannot save myself. There is no way. I'll never be able to do it. God, I need Your help. Will You please forgive me for the ways that I have walked wrong? And will You cleanse me and make me whole so that I might make You the center of my life? Now, I'm sad to tell you that it took me about another 7 years, 8 years, to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. For me, that was two different decisions. For some folks, this decision is made all at once. I want to make Jesus my Savior and I want to make Jesus my Lord. It took me another 7 or 8 years to make Jesus my Lord. Meaning that when God comes to me and says, I want you to make me the center of your life, Tim, that's what I did. And from that day forward, I've tried the best that I can to make God the center of my life. No matter what's going on. I learned a great deal from Douglas Warutu while I was in Kenya. He came and spoke to us one time. He's an African theologian. Brilliant man. Absolutely brilliant man. I would have loved to sit in his classes. Short little man that had more energy than I can ever hope to have in my life. Judy, you didn't even come close. This guy had tons of energy. He could bounce off the walls continuously all day. And he shared with us what this meant, making God the center of your life. And you see, what he shared with us is their original houses in that part of Africa used to be round houses. Not rectangular or square like we have, but round houses. And there was one pole in the center of the house. And that one pole held up the roof. And if you took that one pole out, the whole house would collapse. He said, that's what God's asking you to do. To make God the center of everything in your life. And he said, us Africans understand that better than you Americans do. He says, because we make God one room in our house. And we got other rooms for other different things. And that one room can fall apart and the rest of the house might still stand, right? But he said, if we take out that pole out of our house, the whole house goes. This is what it means when it says that God is allowing anyone to come who is willing to make God the center of their lives. It's that thing that holds up every part of your life. It's that thing that holds it all together. It's that thing that is the one central thing. If you take God out of my life, I recognize I'd be nothing. I would be nothing. So I hope that Jesus Christ is not only your Savior, but that Jesus Christ is your Lord, centered around everything in your life, whether it's recreation, whether it's work, whether it's your checkbook, whether it's your friendships, whether it's your family, whether it's your marriage. I hope God is the very center of all those things. Because if not, you will have problems. One of the shocking things that there might be here for us that maybe sometimes we don't want to consider is that God's willing to let the people that want to make God the center of their lives, part of the kingdom of God. And this includes even those who previously lived outside or lived against or outside of God's ways. This includes even those who previously lived against or outside of God's ways. I didn't live as a Christian until I came to Christ. I can't say I willingly went out and went against God's ways, but I didn't live the right ways. I can acknowledge to you that I did not live the right ways. And I struggled with that. And you see, God's looking for those people right now to be part of the kingdom of God. Even though they may be totally against God, even though they may be outsiders who could care less about God, that's who God is searching out. That's who God's looking for. That's who God wants to make part of the kingdom of God. That means every enemy that the United States has, that's who God is looking to bring into the kingdom of God. North Korean ruler. God is looking to bring him into the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what he thinks about us. He's an outsider, and as far as I'm concerned, as far as I can understand, he lives against God's ways in horrible and drastic ways. And there are many other countries around the world where that is happening that we don't hear about in our news. Many other countries. There are catastrophes in almost every third world country. I've been reading quite a bit lately on World War II and the history of World War II and the things that have happened there. It's an area that I continue to read about because more research is becoming available for people to look into. And I talked to Deanne and I told her, I said, you know, how could people even allow the Holocaust to happen? How could that even happen? How could people not recognize that fact and step do something about it? How could that happen? And she stopped me right dead in my tracks and looked at me and said, it's happening in Syria right now. It's happening in Syria right now. You see, there's tons of folks out there looking to live against God's ways. Some of them think they're living God's ways, but they're not. Those are the exact people that God wants to be part of the kingdom of God. All right, that probably makes us a little, I don't know about that, right? God is about gathering outsiders. God is about gathering people that don't look like us. God is about gathering people that don't live like us. God is about gathering people that might want to live against us. God is about gathering people that come from a completely different background than we do. Outsiders. You know those people that you walk by on the city streets? When you go to the big towns? And boy, I don't know about that person. Let me walk on the other side of the street. That's the same person that God's trying to bring into the kingdom of God. We need to be open to that. We need to think about that. Because I told you, this passage says, even on the book of Deuteronomy, it says foreigners will never be part of the kingdom of God. And then here in the book of Isaiah, it says, yes, they will. Yes, they will. If they're looking to make God the center of their lives, that's the persons that God is calling in. So this is what it means for us. For us to fulfill our part of living for God, we need to develop friendships with outsiders. For us to fulfill our part of living for God, we need to develop friendships with outsiders. It's a proven fact. The longer you remain a Christian, the less non-Christian friends that you have. You become closer and closer to the people within the church that you go to, and those are the people that you interact with, and you interact less and less with people that are not part of the church the longer you remain a Christian. If we are going to fulfill the role that God has for us, we need to make friendships with outsiders. That means we need to go where outsiders are. And we need to see them for who they are, and that they are people that God loves and that God cares about and that God wants salvation for and wants them to be part of the kingdom of God. Now, I recognize and I understand that there are some places for us that it might be hard to go, because it would be difficult for us and the temptations that would be presented to us. But you know what? God's still asking us to reach out to them. God's still asking us to find them. I'm glad they found me, because my family did nothing about bringing me up in church. I'm glad they found me. I still remember those three guys. They'd come by my room and say, "What do you want to do tonight?" And some of you know how I think. "Well, I'll tell you what, let's see if they'll play pool with me." "Sure, let's go play pool." They didn't come by with ideas on what they wanted to do. They came by wanting to know what kind of things I liked doing, and they went with me. It didn't matter. They went with me. They became friends with me while I was still an outsider. And while I was still an outsider, that convinced me to look at Jesus Christ to get my life straight. And for each and every one of us, we've got outsiders that live next door to us. For each and every one of us that work, we've got outsiders that we work with, that we interact with. If you work in any kind of service organization, any kind of service job, you run into people that are outsiders. Right? When you go to Walmart, I'm sure you can find some outsiders. I'm not asking you to talk about them and share stories about the outsiders at Walmart. Just remember, when you're looking at outsiders, there's some outsiders looking at you going, "Boy, they're outside." Remember that. They're outside of what's real, they might look at you and say. So folks, we need to pay attention to that. And we need to look at that. If God's desire is all these people to come into the kingdom of God, don't we need to be paying attention to the outsiders? Don't we need to develop some friendships with them? I'm a firm believer that friendship evangelism is the best evangelism there is. Going door to door and knocking on doors does produce people who come into the church and join the church. What would be called cold turkey evangelism. That does bring people to Christ. But I'm a firm believer that by becoming somebody's friend first and sharing with them about Jesus Christ, in the process of that friendship has a much more lasting effect. Because they get to see you live each and every day. And they get to find out who you are. And they get to find out you're a real person. Not just a person who goes to church on Sunday. They get to find out you have some of the same struggles that they have. And then they're willing to trust you. Many times I never introduce myself as a pastor. You guys introduce me as a pastor, but I very rarely ever introduce myself as a pastor. I try to get to know people first. I still remember one time going to a coffee shop and spending some time at the coffee shop and got to know some of the people, and they were telling some things that most of you would consider probably shouldn't be told around pastors. And finally, one of them looked at me and said, "What do you do for a job?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." The conversation kind of changed after that moment. It kind of changed. But you see, I was there to be their friend, not to be a pastor. I was there to get under the radar, so to speak, and spend some time with them, and they could find out, you know, this guy really likes coffee. This guy's a pretty good guy. This guy, you're a pastor. We need to develop those friendships. And the last point I'll give you before I present you with a question to think about. To develop these friendships will require us to live outside our comfort zone. I hope you recognize that we all live in a comfort zone. I make this nice little box around me, and this is what I like most comfortable. This is what I like the most. This is where I prefer to be. I don't like interacting with those people. Whoever those people are, by the way. It may be different for you than it is for me. And we live inside this comfortable box. Because this is where I can make my bed. This is where I can make my lazy boy that I can be comfortable in. Folks, I could sit in a lazy boy all day and read a book. Ask my wife. It doesn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, I told her the other day when I was having problems, you know, before I was exercising so much and doing all this stuff, and just sitting on the couch reading books, I didn't have as many problems as I got now. That's my comfort zone. I could do that all day, every day. I got to get outside of my comfort zone to meet some people. I got to get outside my comfort zone to be with people that maybe they kind of rub me the wrong way a little bit. Because God's asking me to reach out to them. Because God wants to make them part of the kingdom of God. So I'm going to leave you with this question today. Are you willing to help gather still other outsiders who need to come to the kingdom? The last verse says, "The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel will gather still others to them besides those already gathered." There's a bunch of us gathered here today. And as I look around, there's a bunch of empty seats. Where God's looking to gather some more people in. Are you willing to help gather still other outsiders who need to come to the kingdom of God? Let us pray. Lord, you've given us an incredible task. One that scares us. One that concerns us. One that sometimes it seems like it's so much easier to run from. And yet still we walk by these folks who need you. Open our eyes. Open doors. That we might help to gather them in. Because Lord, you're still looking to gather more. And you're asking us to gather outsiders, foreigners, immigrants, those who grew up different than us, those that are not in the same social class as us, those that have more money than us, those that have less money than us. Lord, you're asking us to gather in, to help you gather in outsiders. May we be able to step outside of our comfort zone and help those outsiders come to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.